Every MSP uses some combination of RMM and ticketing technology. But what are the security issues related to use of those platforms, and how can MSPs ensure that they are protected? We'll talk about these issues and more on today's episode.
You are entering the MSP Zone, a podcast for the managed services community, covering news, analysis, and interviews from around the globe. Elevate your MSP game by staying in the MSP Zone. And now, your host, Charles Weaver.
Good day, everyone. We are back with the MSP Zone and a really exciting program today. We are talking about RMM security. And it's not just RMM security, it's general MSP platform security. Every MSP's got one. They're a combination of those tools. And there's been a lot of talk in the news, the non-channel news, the channel news alike, about MSP security and the use of these tools, which is now becoming very well known to customers. And everyone's asking, justifiably, I think, about the security of these platforms and what do they really do? What level of access do they really have? And we've got a great guest on our program today who works now with a security firm that we'll talk about them later in the program, but actually has some actual experience working in an RMM company, and is going to give us some of his insights about what that looks like and what MSPs can do to kind of shore up their internal security. I am pleased to have with us Jason Norton, the product marketing director for Viper Security. Jason, welcome to the program. Thank you.
Hey, Charles. Thanks for having me on the MSP Zone. I'm excited to be here.
So, I didn't know that we had talked about what we were going to talk about today before, and, just finding out that you actually worked at an RMM company, you don't have to disclose who it was, but, tell us, a little bit about your background.
Yeah, sure. Thanks. So you're right. I did spend a few years at one of the, large RMM companies. So I kind of saw firsthand how this particular company brought all the pieces together for their RMM solution. We'll talk later, coupling with their PSA. But the strategy that was kind of employed from the get-go was to have an open ecosystem, and to have this idea of a marketplace with open APIs where the platform could support best-in-breed technology. And so when I joined the organization, I was tasked to start to build that out in terms of being a security solution strategist. So, yeah, my day, Charles, was chock full of talking to MSPs, from all over North America and the world, as it were, the UK and Australia as well, and help them along with their security practices and take them level up, if you will, from some of the security behaviors and practices and hygienes they had compared to the natural progression of maybe an MSP becoming more mature in its life cycle and looking for a platform to accelerate their business like an RMM platform. So I learned a lot in those few years, and I think I'm have a pretty good understanding of the pros and cons of that open ecosystem, Charles, maybe versus, the kind of native, more cookie cutter, what you get is what you get. We can kind of get into those differences, but that is where I gain, kind of the insight that I'll be talking about today.
No, it's fantastic. I'm really excited to have this discussion because I think a lot of MSPs are as well to hear an RMM companies. You don't work for an RMM company now, and you do have a lot of security experience. And we'll talk about the security firm that you're with, later on in the program. But let's dive right in and talk about the elephant in the room. Right, is that RMM platforms are being targeted. And it's not because RMM platforms are not secure. I'm not saying that at all. I don't think anyone out there is. It's just that RMM tools are like, you talk to a carpenter, every carpenter has a hammer, right? An RMM is a tool. It's like a hammer. Every MSP's got one. And so I think that that's why the bad guys out there have targeted those tools, among others, to gain a foothold into the MSP to ultimately get to the end user customer. I mean, is that a fair statement to say that this is a known thing?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's right on, Charles. One of the things I liken it to, I love your analogy about the carpenter and the hammer. Everybody's got one. One of the things that I kind of extrapolate to is the notion of a watering hole, and how cyber criminals, bad actors have had the idea of watering holes for a long time, and that's where end users would congregate and they could exploit a certain behavior in mass. And so as you kind of move along the timeline of threats, we remember back in 2015, 2016, where the FBI and DHS was really starting to catch on to some of the threats posed by not only state-sponsored actors, the big guys that we're targeting, but also kind of domestically, those cyber criminals also. But it started to come out in 2016, 2017, hey, these guys are going for MSPs. And the reason was the one-to-many. If I can get into an MSP's book of business, boy, I can go east and west, can't I? And so that was something that had to be dealt with at the time. And concurrently, I think there was a move in the community to the RMM platforms. So concurrently, the MSP breaches and exploitation was happening as MSPs were taking themselves from an autonomous business to linking up with an RMM. Well, once that happened, of course, the bad actor just says, well, geez, I thought I had it easy before. Now I have it really easy because I can go one to many. And now the breadth of the MSPs that I could potentially breach inside the goldmine of an RMM is unfathomable, right? So I think that that's that natural progression where it's not news that the bad guys are looking for economies of scale and the biggest bang for their buck, the least expenses. Everything matches up nicely to set the sights on an RMM, doesn't it?
Yeah. So, all right. So if we're using analogies, right? I mean, if robbers used to rob stagecoaches and trains when banks became, really commonplace, then they realized, wow, everyone, conveniently deposited their money in this bank. Why don't I just rob the bank instead of the stagecoach or the train? Mm-hmm. What I'm hearing is, and what I think the MSPs need to hear, and even the clients and the customers out there who listen to this need to hear, that this is not an inherently unsafe thing. It's just a maturity. It's a maturation of the market. Is that how you see it? That this is just an evolutionary thing?
I do see it that way. I think what the tough news might be to hear, kind of the tough truth, is the realization for the MSPs that they're a target. Let's first of all just accept that they're an elevated target because of, again, of their book of business. So I think that that's a fair statement. Now, an RMM platform, I don't think inherently makes any given MSP less secure than they were when they started out. Well, let me back up. What do I mean by that? Well, security, MSPs and security. A lot of MSPs several years ago, many years ago, but before some of the migrations that we mentioned and some of the climates that occurred in security, would just kind of use the pillars of security, not only to protect their own shop, but also they ate their own dog food. They resold that to their customers. That worked pretty well for a lot of people for a long time. But when we talk about firewall, endpoint, backups, and patching, that may be good enough to resell to your clients, but that's not good enough to protect your house. That's really the narrative that we've run into in the past 18 to 24 months with the RMM platforms coming together and banding together as a unit and saying, we need to, as an industry, prop up the security within these platforms. So I don't think it's any less secure inherently to go with an RMM, but there are things like we should talk about MFA, 2FA, PowerShell, passwords. So there's things that MSPs have to do in the security realm above and beyond just endpoint, firewall, and patching, if that makes sense.
It does. It's evolving. And I do accept your point, and I hope that most MSPs and consumers accept it as well, which is that this is an evolutionary thing. It doesn't represent that MSPs are unsafe because they're being attacked. I look at it differently, which is they're being attacked because they're the only ones standing in the way between their client and the bad guys. And maybe that's too simplistic, but that's kind of how I view it.
Well, I think that's right. Even though it is simplistic, it is right. And you know, some MSPs are better than security discipline than others. And you know, when you're branching out into security from general services, you know, it can be very difficult to not be the target. The easiest path for cyber criminals will always or typically be the path chosen. And so there's a lot of the things that we talk about. You know, I think multi-factor authentication, Charles, is the biggest one. All the MSPs are like, yeah, we know. the RMM platforms came out and a couple of them mandated it. A couple conscientious ones said, hey, man, we're already doing this. Don't look over here. We've made that mandatory already.
Yeah.
Now, some of the vendors like ourselves and some of our colleagues and competitors, however you want to look at it, whatever lens you look through, have done the same thing, and that's to make 2FA in our software accessible to MSPs to then turn around and enforce. But what we're saying as a group is, hey, we need to go a step further and maybe put a moratorium for the RMM platforms to say, hey, within 6 to 9 months, we're gonna enable MFA authentication as a requirement to the platform itself.
I would be heartily in favor of that. I think that that's a good step in the right direction. I do want to delve. I feel like I'm running out of time with all the questions I want to ask you, but I'm gonna get into this open API structure. And everybody knows, you know, all the big, I'll call them the big four, right? We had a consolidation moment starting with the Kaseya, I think, kicked it off, maybe 10 years ago, maybe it was 2011. And then all the other platform vendors kind of consolidated, venture capital, private equity backed almost all of them. I think all of them to a T. It brings a lot of value to an MSP to say, I can go to one organization and get everything that I need. How does that, in your opinion, stack up to a potential security issue of that's exactly what somebody who wants to penetrate the MSP wants, right?
Yeah, that's such a good question. And isn't it interesting that in a kind of a standardized industry like the RMM industry, that there would be such a stark difference in business strategy. And I think that was born out of necessity in how each of those players got to the place that they are. So, you mentioned Kaseya right on, ConnectWise, I think, is probably the leader in open ecosystem. You mentioned at the top that I have some RMM experience. It happens to be with ConnectWise. I helped to build their security, I guess, platform. And the idea there was twofold, to give MSPs who are coming in kind of the front of the house, if you will, to the RMM, they're either going to be coming from a competitor on a SaaS model and lose all of their security and backup and any of the solutions that they had at the time, and they're going to need something rather quickly, or they're going to have disparate contracts with the vendors directly with staggered dates of expiration. And so they just want to be able to integrate those products while they kind of wait for those contracts to end, right? So ConnectWise says, hey, we have the best of both worlds. We're going to resell the best in breed security. And so there was about four to six at first that started that are resold. And that's still around the number. What I mean by resold is you can call an account manager there and they can put it on their paper. Well, that's especially attractive to the MSP because of the billing efficiencies, the support. But, just to kind of back up, open APIs. Got it. I'm coming into an RMM for the first time and I didn't just start yesterday. I've got all these contracts behind me. The reason that I'm interested in ConnectWise is you've told me I can run all my favorite software through your platform with the open APIs. I can use the integration for free. And then to the extent that you resell the software products that I use anyway, once I expire on my perpetual contract, I'll get on a monthly contract. I'll get on that SaaS contract. Now, Charles, you brought up risk, and you and I have talked offline about risk and kind of how to curb that risk. And if you're putting too many eggs in one basket, well, the open APIs kind of help you to diversify the vendors potentially, even though it's still going through one platform. So I think there would be some reduction in risk there. What do you think?
So the argument is not using one central vendor or company as a wheelhouse or a hub for all the technologies. The issue is who is ultimately responsible. And the open API model, in your opinion, is, look, I mean, everybody knows that ConnectWise, you know, has, you know, started off as a PSA platform, and then they acquired, you know, through a kind of an incubator model, the RMM side of it, right? And they
bundled, came over.
Yeah, they bundled those together, and every other RMM platform has done the same thing. But you're talking about an API structure that says, look, beyond those two things, and I think that there's a lot of common sense to the argument that, look, if one vendor can do two things well and they integrate well, and, you know, RMM and ticketing are very closely aligned, right? They have to be for MSP efficiency. Then having, you know, saying security is outside of our wheelhouse, so we're going to pick four or five vendors. You tell us who you want, and then we'll securely connect it to this hub. That's really your argument, right? Is that's a stronger, better way to diversify, even still using one central company hub?
Well, what you're not doing is telling MSPs that when they come on board with ConnectWise that they have to drop all of the solutions that they've used for their career. That was what was really attractive, was the idea of all these integrations that existed. So if you're a fan of a particular software solution within security or backup or documents or whatever the case may be, that you could capture it in this ecosystem. I don't know if the open APIs that would connect to multiple vendors to the central platform would have inherent security flaws that could be exploited with the APIs themselves. But when I look at the open API versus native RMM security options, I've always looked at it as a business case. For example, if I'm not as mature in my business and I want to now go into an RMM, maybe I don't want to pick. Maybe this open ecosystem is just enough rope to hang myself, and I would be better with another platform that just tells me what to use.
Right. Well, and choice is right. I mean, what I do hear from the MSPs, you might have heard the same thing when in your experience, is that MSPs tend to go for not just ease of use and compatibility, interoperability, but they also go for best in breed, right? That is the term of, I want the best product in this category, and I don't care who made it. I want it to work with the other best in category, you know, tool that I use over here. It sounds very plausible, and I don't mean to ask you an open-ended question, but is there a preference for which should win? Should a MSP look for a best in breed and say, I don't care who made it, just get the best one in each category and then figure out how to cobble it together?
The reason that I like, excuse me, Charles, the reason that I like the open ecosystem is for the best in breed. So I don't have to be a backup expert to use world-class backup software. And I don't have to be a security expert to use, that's what best in breed means, that it's been scrubbed, it's been decided that this is a great platform. It's the best in its kind of category of its peers. And so you would have more access to choose from those on a 30-day SaaS model with an open API. And it happened all the time where maybe you thought one flavor of endpoint security is what you wanted, and then you tried to deploy it. It didn't fit. It didn't do something. Well, the beauty of this open ecosystem is you're only on a 30-day SaaS model. We can get you something to kind of take the place, and the only skin off your teeth was kind of that redeployment, that quick hiccup to switch over. But the idea that you're not cast into a one-year contract or you know, geez, do people sign 3-year contracts anymore? So you're on that 30-day contract, and you can kind of feel out the best in breed. You can kind of feel out maybe a couple within reason. I mean, you still have to run your business. You can't be testing solutions all day long. But I'm telling you that with the pedigree that the sales folks have within these, they really know the solutions well. Your MSPs may know that there is almost no turnover at places like, you know, ConnectWise. Now Continuum has joined them. These account managers that work with MSPs can't wait to see each other during all the different events. And, you know, it really is something that MSPs can take stock and have their professionals help them through. So there's a team of security solution strategists that if you're uncomfortable with a certain piece of software, you know, they can help you make sure that you're right size. But you still have total controls. You have the total keys to the kingdom, and you have 200 best-in-breed vendors to choose from. Conversely, if I'm a salesperson from a native security platform, I have to convince you that what I have under the hood, which you may or may not be exposed, it's probably not. It'll have a trademark name of the RMM platform. You probably don't know what's under the sheets, Charles. You probably will have to work hard to find out what it's powered by, and then you're going to have to accept that. There is really no choice there.
Yeah, and you're bringing out kind of transparency issues of, you know, who are you? What technology are you bringing to the table versus letting the MSP go out and figure out what is best for them and then bring that in. I would like to talk about diversification. And again, I don't mean to ask a leading question, but because I'm genuinely curious about your opinion. Is there a reason or is there no reason to diversify how an MSP procures, you know, managed services tools? Like, should they be comfortable with going to a particular RMM vendor and saying, all right, I want everything you do, right? You know, in the open API world where they can pick multiple vendors, it's not all coming from that one vendor? Or should they be saying, no, I want to split everything apart? Is one more secure than the other, basically?
You're right. So is one more secure than the other? And then what kind of the cost benefit analysis of the efficiencies next to the other? We put that all on the table. And, you know, as an MSP, we make the best decision that makes the most sense for us. So I think that if I'm going to go into that open ecosystem that you described, I'm going to look for the efficiency. That's kind of why I've wanted to expand into the PSA RMM platform, is to expand my business, to have that level up effect where I don't need the expertise to get the billable services. I can't imagine pulling out, you know, let's say my backup from my RMM platform as some sort of strategy not to have it hooked into my RMM platform, because then I lose every single efficiency that my RMM platform allowed for my backup, me managing my BUDR practice. So I think I'm not sure that it really, the end justifies the means if you try to diversify outside of an open ecosystem platform, if that makes sense. You might have then the proclivity, if that's the case, to go with that kind of native platform, because you'd say to yourself at that point, I'm going to kind of run some things outside of this integration, right? And I think that's what you're getting at, the idea of maybe being able to hedge some risk if you have some solutions outside of that platform.
So I'm reading that as there is no discernible security downside to sourcing through a single vendor, assuming they have this open ecosystem. And even if they happen to have an RMM and a ticketing platform product that can integrate, you know, presumably very, very tightly, that if they have backup from multiple vendors, if they have security from multiple vendors, if they have other types of solutions through multiple vendors, that's not inherently insecure, and it may actually have other benefits that we're going to talk about those in a minute. But is that a fair summary?
I think so. Yeah, I mean, I don't find fault with anything that you said there. I think that actually does summarize it pretty well, of what I was trying to drive at.
Okay, so it's not buying from a single vendor, again, for those joining late in the program. It's about getting the best of breed, assuming that the vendor you're dealing with has this open ecosystem concept of being able to procure from different vendors and assuming interoperability with all the necessary components of your MSP tool belt. The obvious, I say they're obvious, but to the MSPs out there that may not know, there are some benefits to dealing with a single vendor. There could be billing efficiencies, right? Not having to deal with multiple different vendors. You have one bill. There could be bundling or group pricing discounts. I'm imagining that's possible. What about integration? Is like integration going to be a better thing with a single vendor model?
Well, great questions. And I think that one analogy, one way to look at procuring your security, BUDR, your different things to run your MSP holistically, through the RMM, it's almost like distribution, because you're just getting the solutions that you want, and they being the RMM platform is taking all those disparate contracts and taking them through their tunnel, and at the other side they're spitting out 30-day contracts that they're extending through the vendor. They've negotiated all the pricing and everything, so it's completely seamless. And if you look at an RMM like an aggregator, kind of a quasi-disty, that's really how they're acting. They're fulfilling, multiple software vendors' orders, and they're running it through their infrastructure, putting it on a 30-day model, integrating it into their platform in most cases. And then you mentioned support. That's one thing MSPs should really ask some questions there, the different RMM platforms, because it isn't standardized to my knowledge, meaning vendors like Viper might have a different support structure than vendors like Webroot, and those are all negotiated independently, with ConnectWise. So I would say to your listeners, Charles, to really explore what that support stream looks like, meaning does level one support stay with ConnectWise? If so, you're going to get a knowledge base article. It may or may not help. And then tiers two and three go back to the vendor anyway. So it might sound a little convoluted, but I do want to underscore that support is treated differently by different platforms, whether it goes straight back to the vendor or not. And if it doesn't, Charles, the one thing that can backfire on your MSPs that are listening is to be in a long queue waiting to get level one support because your darn ecosystem is so big. Does that make sense?
That's a good point. Yeah, I hadn't thought about that. And look, it's about time we've kind of teased it for a while, and I appreciate your kind of behind the curtain insight into what goes on in an RMM. For those out there, those MSPs who are not aware of Viper Security, can you give us a brief rundown on what Viper is doing and kind of what your message is to the MSPs?
Sure. Yeah. For those that don't know Viper Security, we have been in Clearwater, Florida since 1994. So we're not a household name, maybe like Symantec or Trend, but we have been around for 25 years. We started out in kind of anti-spyware arena. Then we developed into endpoint. Kind of Viper made its identity being the smaller, lighter engines. Partners like this, MSPs like this. We were lightweight, easy to use. And we ended up taking a lot of business from the big three, right? Well, as we kind of matured as a company ourselves, we were attractive, and we ended up being purchased by J2 Global. So I'm happy to say that we're part of their cloud services, part of J2 Global, which is public. If your listeners want to look us up, where JCOM is our ticket symbol. We're able to now offer a more breadth and depth to our platform, Charles, than we ever were. We picked up a lot of economies joining J2 Global. So now, for your listeners, when we talk in the context of trying to gain efficiencies from single sourcing, Viper can say, well, we've got endpoint covered for MSPs. It's called Site Manager. It's got multi-tenancy. They're going to be able to run that endpoint and see down into their population. Maybe more importantly today, with the phishing scams is the email security. I would implore any MSP that's listening to us that's running like Office 365, there's better ways to get the advanced security than maybe those larger packages that your MSPs don't need all of the business applications that come with the more expensive Microsoft Office packages, but yet you're going to need cloud email. So endpoint, email, we have user and data security as well. We love the channel. We love MSPs. We play in the RMM space. So
that was my next question. If there's ConnectWise MSPs out there, can they call their ConnectWise rep and find out about you guys?
Yeah, absolutely. Call your ConnectWise rep. You can get a free trial. That would absolutely be the best thing to do.
If what's your web URL for those?
www.viper.com. Now, Charles, I don't know if I told you. I don't want your listeners to spell Viper wrong. Did you know Viper is an acronym? And it's spelled funny, right? For all the folks listening, it's V-I-P-R-E. People say Vipre, what the heck? And why is it all capitalized? Virus Intrusion Remediation Prevention Engine.
I just thought it was the French version of Viper, but no, yours sounds much better.
Vipre?
Vipre. Well, Jason, I really appreciate you coming on and sharing that kind of behind the scenes perspective. It's been really helpful. And again, Viper Security, go out there to their website. There, if you're in the ConnectWise community, it sounds like they connect into that community as well. Love to have you back on the program. But basically, the takeaway I'd like to summarize is, it is not inherently unsafe to single source from a single vendor a lot of different platforms. I think ultimately it comes down to, Jason, as you said it, how secure is that vendor in securing the whole platform, and how secure is the MSP in its handling of those different tools? I mean, I think that really gets that. That's the summary as I take it.
I think you're right on. You've hit the nail right on the head.
All right. Jason Norton from Viper Security. Go check him out, everyone. Appreciate your insight, Jason. And that's it for today's program. We will see you guys next time on the MSP Zone.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed today's episode, please give us a like. Make sure you're subscribed to the podcast so you'll get notified when future episodes are released. We will see you next time in the MSP Zone.